for you. And hell, that's not a bad thing. Go find her, take her back to your place again, and figure it out.
So basically you're telling me to fuck her out of my system,
Zeph drawled. Ronan splayed a hand over his chest and assumed a wounded air that would have been more convincing if not for the wide grin splitting his grill.
Did I say that?
Zeph snorted, and Dom shook his head, wearing a smirk.
I'm going to take a shower. I'll hit you up later, and...
He jerked his chin up.
Thanks.
With fist bumps to both men, he headed toward the weight room exit, leaving his friends to argue behind him.
Not a man whore, by the way. I think my mother would take exception to that,
Ronan complained.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't call her one, isn't it?
Dom shot back. Shaking his head, Zeph let the door slam shut behind him. But he couldn't eject Ronan's advice from his head as easily. Everything he'd stated was true. He didn't want a relationship, but he couldn't say the same about not wanting to be back inside Giovanna's body. He hadn't even had a chance to put his mouth on her breasts or discover the undoubtedly sweet taste of her pussy. Due to her disappearing act, he'd been cheated out of having her on her knees in front of him again, only this time with nothing separating her mouth from his cock. As blunt and even crude as Ronan's suggestion had been, maybe he'd been right. If she hadn't left him last night, he could have fulfilled at least half of the images parading through his mind like a porn movie. But since she had snuck out, maybe indulging in some unrestrained, unlimited fucking for a short time would satisfy this insane hunger and allow him to devote all his concentration on where it belonged, the game. Since he was a kid, he'd loved football. And to be able to make a living out of his passion was a dream most people would never realize. A sense of resolve eased through him, and with it a calm, decision made. He removed his cell from his pocket and quickly dialed a number.
Wilder Investigations. Jason Wilder speaking.
A deep, familiar voice echoed in Zeph's ear.
Hey, Jason. I need your help. And it's a rush job.
Zeph greeted his friend, owner of a private detective firm.
Shoot! I need you to find the home address of someone.
Chapter 7.
Sophia, can I have a word with you before you go, please?
Hell no. Go play in traffic. Sure, she said to her supervisor, Brian Schultz, before turning around to finish shutting down her laptop, and to hide her wince. Not that he would have noticed anyway. He didn't wait for her, but pivoted on the heel of his leather Stacy Adams shoes and headed back toward his office. Most of the time, she loved her job. And then there were the instances she had to deal with Brian, Neil before Zod, Schultz. She understood why people committed boss aside. Sighing, she stowed her computer in her bag and reluctantly followed him down the hall.
Close the door behind you, please.
There wasn't a request in that arrogant tone, and he didn't glance behind him to see if she complied. Instead, he rounded his desk, unbuttoning his suit jacket before lowering to his chair. Sinking into the armchair flanking his desk, Sophia snuck a peek at her cell phone. It was 5:42 p.m. Damn, she'd been so close to a clean getaway. She should have been out of Fam Fitz's offices 12 minutes ago. Friday after 5 o'clock, and her number of fucks given started to rapidly dwindle. Now, sitting in the office of the one person she actively tried to avoid, that total hit zero.
So,
Brian said, leaning back and arching an eyebrow over the rims of his black hipster glasses.
You were off yesterday.
He felt quiet and studied her, as if his silence would prod her into offering an excuse to explain the reason behind her scheduled personal day. Well, he and his fauxhawk would be waiting a long-ass time. Prick. And not because of his shiny, skinny leg pants, gelled metrosexual hairstyles, and smug European attitude. Although those were plenty of reasons. Except when under a tight deadline, for the most part, FamFit boasted a laid-back atmosphere, open floor plan of spacious cubicles,
with low-walled partitions, so people could easily see one another and toss ideas as well as jokes back and forth. A huge break room where at least once a week parties for birthdays, baby showers, or Friday were hosted, and a relaxed dress code where most employees wore jeans, Converse, hoodies, and graphic t-shirts with geek slogans. Case in point, Sophia's current Back That Thing Up shirt, sporting a thumb drive. Then there was Brian. Still, she could deal with his uptightness and personality of a pencil eraser. No, what made her supervisor a prick and had her aching to go all Grand Theft Auto on his ass was him being a backstabbing thief. "So," he continued, clearing his throat, "I had a meeting yesterday, and the company is looking to release a new app outside our current weight, exercise, and nutrition trackers. Something more interactive." As he continued to speak, excitement and dread twisted inside her belly. Excitement because she loved creating new apps. Everything from the brainstorming of ideas, to the writing code and watching it come to life, to the rollout and waiting on pins and needles to see how the public reacted to it. It was a rush, a heady satisfaction. Dread because with Brian as a supervisor, any idea had a 99.9% chance of being stolen and claimed as his baby, ethically and professionally. Because she worked under him and for FamFit, her work was his and the company's, but morally, promoting her ideas to the powers that be is totally his concept and work, without any input from her, was underhanded and low. Especially since he only ever stole from Sophia and the one other female developer in the department. Brian wouldn't dare try that shit with the guys. They might look like extras from The Big Bang Theory, but they were positively feral about their work and receiving credit for it, particularly since credit translated to bonuses and profit-sharing proceeds. She, on the other hand, was apparently fair game. The first time it had happened, she'd reluctantly brushed it off, convincing herself that maybe she was being too sensitive. The second time, she'd approached him, and he'd reminded her that she was still new, still had her dues to pay. But that if she continued with the hard work, the next time might be hers. A barrage of words, some of them four-letter and others denigrating his parentage, had weighed down her tongue, but she'd held them back. As a young woman, and a minority in a field dominated by white males, she felt like she had to tread carefully. It sucked that she risked being known as the loud Latina woman in the office if she dared to stick up for herself. At 24, she realized how fortunate she was to work in a career she loved. Yes, she was relatively young, but she'd graduated with dual degrees in computer science and software engineering, and, last year, completed her master's in software development. Not to mention she'd also been building apps since her junior year in college. So, yes, she truly loved her chosen field. But Brian was stealing that joy as surely as he pilfered her ideas and credit. And she had no shame in admitting that she wanted acknowledgement of her hard work. Anyone who claimed differently was a liar or had ambition the size of Nat Booty. Had she called him a prick and thief? She'd meant a misogynistic, backstabbing prick and thief. "We have 2 weeks to deliver a proposal. I've chosen a few of you to submit a concept, and I need it delivered to me in 1 week. You've proven very innovative in the past, and if yours is chosen, it could mean project manager for you." Project manager. She'd been at FamFit for 3 years, and she'd never been appointed to head the numerous teams on which she'd participated. The excitement edged out the unease and resentment. This could be her chance to show not just Brian, but herself, that she could handle the responsibility and succeed. She'd been burned by her supervisor before, but she couldn't turn away from this opportunity for advancement in the company and her field. The person whose proposal is accepted will end up project manager?
she asked, needing that verification.
Yes, Brian replied. Are you in?
Sophia smiled, an idea already swirling in her head.
I'm in.
Minutes later, after a quick stop in the bathroom to replace her lip and eyebrow rings, she exited the FamFit office building and stepped into the hustle and bustle of a Friday night in Pioneer Square. Even FamFit's relaxed dress code had a thing about piercings in places other than the ears. With her keys in hand, she replayed the scene in his office, and her eagerness continued to rise. This time is going to be different. I just know it. The words ricocheted off the walls of her head, fervent, hopeful, and, yeah, with a tinge of desperation. Her cell phone vibrated in her hand, Cindy Lauper's Girls Just Wanna Have Fun, peeling and drawing several amused glances Sophia's way. Without glancing down at the screen, she answered. She'd assigned that ringtone to one person. Hey, Vanna, she greeted her sister, entering the parking garage. Are you on your way home?
Hola, chica.
Giovanna's cheerful voice echoed clearly across the long-distance connection. After not hearing from her sister for a couple of days, Sophia had missed her.
No, I'm still in Milan.
What? Sophia frowned, jabbing the elevator button for the third level. I thought you wrapped up yesterday and were leaving today. Did you miss your flight? Giovanna laughed, and the infectious glee in it had Sophia smiling, even though she had no clue why.
You're not going to believe this. I mean, I'm still pinching myself.
Well, stop that. They'll think the bruises are track marks, Sophia advised. Her twin snorted.
Only your mind would go there, but anyway, she continued. And Sophia could easily imagine her swiping a hand through the air as if sweeping aside Sophia's crack-whore observation.
Leo Bianchi himself asked my agent if I could walk in another show he has next Wednesday.
Isn't that amazing?
She shrieked.
Wow, Vanna,
Sophia grinned, joy for her sister surging inside her like the accomplishment was her own.
You must have knocked him on his ass. Not that I'm surprised, you're...
Wait, does this mean I have to pose as you for something else? She asked, suspicion and horror creeping in.
God, you're paranoid.
No,
her twin assured her. I just wanted to let you know I wouldn't be home when planned, and to see how the shoot went yesterday. Did I do a fantastic job? Reaching her car, Sophia unlocked it and climbed in.
Well, I wasn't outed as an imposter and kicked out, if that's what you're asking, she said. Tone wry. So I guess everything went okay.
If by okay she meant meeting the sexiest man breathing air and having a scorching one-night stand with him, then, yep, everything was a-okay. A pause on the other end.
What aren't you telling me?
Giovanna demanded. Pinching the bridge of her nose, Sophia leaned her forehead against the steering wheel. Sometimes being the other half of one egg sucked. She sometimes swore that twin ESP crap was a real thing.
Why do you think there's something I'm keeping from you?
Oh, damn, Giovanna groaned.
Now you're hedging. Some serious shit must have gone down. Spill it.
Wait, just tell me this. Am I going to end up on the cover of a tabloid? Sophia blinked.
No, she didn't think. Nobody saw her leave with Zephyrin last night.
Right? Well, at least she hadn't noticed any flashing camera phones or photographers. Another groan sailed down the cell's connection.
Oh, God. What did you do?
First off, I think you're tabloid cover free, Sophia assured her twin.
You think?
Giovanna gritted out.
I'm dead.
Look, Sophia said on the end of a sigh, not like she could keep this from her twin, not when, technically, it had been Giovanna having the one-night stand, even if in name only.
You didn't tell me I would be modeling with Zephyrin Black.
Did it matter? Giovanna countered. You don't know a football from a wiffle ball. I definitely didn't think you'd recognize him. Okay, you got a point there, but still, you should have prepared me for him. I mean, the man is gorgeous. A hazel-eyed Shamar Moore with a shaved head.
A little heads up would have been nice. Something like, now, Sophia, be prepared to meet Zeph Black. He's sex walking, so make sure you wear both flame retardant and water resistant underwear. But nope. You let me walk into that one like a lamb to slaughter. So in essence, this is 50% your fault, Madre de Dios, Giovanna gasped. You had sex with him. Ha. Huh. Sex. That hadn't been sex. She'd had sex before. That was the fucking unicorn. Fabled, heard of, but never seen and damn sure never experienced. Wincing, Sophia shook her head back and forth on the wheel. Yes and no. What the hell does that mean? That's like being a little pregnant. Either you fucked him or you didn't, she yelled. I mean, I did, but he may have, you know, thought it was you. Bracing herself for the imminent explosion, she curled the fingers of her free hand around the steering wheel. This is twin of fire. Holy hell, I'm living a romance novel, came the whispered reply. Not the response Sophia had been expecting. Blinking, she lifted her head. Huh? Twin of Fire, by Jude Devereaux, remember? The one twin was engaged, and she asked her sister to pretend to be her and take her place on a date for just one night. The sister ended up going to bed with the fiancé, and all the time he believed he was with the other twin, his betrothed. Betrothed? Sophia snickered. Couldn't help it. Shut up, you. Anyway, the whole charade exploded in both of the twins' faces. So how well do you think this is going to end? Giovanna snapped. I know, Sophia muttered. Not about the book, because I don't know what the hell you're talking about with that. But Zephyrin? It's a mess. He thought he was with you. Even called me by your name. Okay, one, ew, and two, I'm sorry, Fee. Her voice softened. That had to hurt. If you slept with him after knowing him for a matter of hours, you must have really been into him. And the upside to having someone able to read her mind was Sophia didn't have to explain her feelings. Giovanna just knew. Yeah, it did hurt, she murmured. Even though it's stupid, right? I went in with my eyes open. Irrational, yes, but not stupid. A beat of silence passed between them. Then Giovanna's laughter reverberated in Sophia's ear, and her own filled the car. You do realize you have to let it go, don't you? Giovanna counseled. You didn't lie to him on purpose, but just thinking back on the brooding, hard man from the one time we worked together, I can't see him accepting that as an excuse. No, you're right. Staring out the windshield, she conjured up an image of an intense, broody Zephyrin. Not that she had to try too hard. Since she'd met him, that picture had hovered at the edge of her consciousness, refusing to be banished. I told him it was just that one night. I can't go on lying to him, and telling him the truth would risk your reputation and career, so... Yeah, I don't intend to continue anything beyond last night. Sophia shook her head. I hate that I put you in this position, though. Seeing him from now on is going to be incredibly awkward for you. Nothing I can't handle, Giovanna assured her. Don't worry about it. Just take care of yourself, okay? On one hand, I'm actually glad you did something impulsive. Sometimes you act like an old maid on the verge of a trip to the pet store for the first of 50 cats. But still, I don't want you hurt, especially when you were doing me a favor. I'm fine. Sophia waved off her twin's concern, even though she couldn't see the gesture. And a cat is a companion, not an indictment on a person's social relationships. Uh-huh, Giovanna drawled. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, so I need to get some sleep. But can you go by my place, check on it, water the plants, and grab my mail? Sure thing, Sophia agreed, turning the key in the ignition. Be safe, okay? And don't forget to call Mom and let her know about your extended stay before she blows my phone up. Who is she kidding? Their mother would phone Sophia anyway, complaining about all the dangers and pitfalls a young single girl could encounter in a foreign country. Sophia rolled her eyes but smiled. Alicia Cruz was the epitome of a worrywart. I will, One more thing, though. Since you did use my name, I think it's only fair that I know if he's as big as the rest of him. Like, are you walking funny today? Bye, Giovanna. Grinning, Sophia hung up on her sister's cackling. But as she drove out of the parking deck into the summer evening traffic, that smile dimmed. Her twin was correct. Sophia had done the right thing by limiting sex with Zephyrin to one night. Anything, a relationship, a friendship, friends with benefits, based on lies, was doomed to failure. And maybe she could find Zephyrin and confess the truth to him. But the reason she hadn't yesterday still remained. She wouldn't jeopardize her sister's career. And then there stood the reason she couldn't admit to her twin, could barely confess to herself. What if Zeph preferred her sister over the real Sophia? It was a possibility. When compared to glamorous, outgoing, gorgeous, sophisticated Giovanna, Sophia, shyer, fashion-challenged, hermit, sometimes rude, at times awkward, couldn't compete. High school had taught her that, as well as the few men she'd dated, who had either courted her just to get close to Giovanna, or worse, had forgotten about Sophia as soon as they laid eyes on her more dazzling half and had fallen for her twin. It smacked of cowardice, but after witnessing that admiring, lustful gleam enter one too many men's eyes after spotting Giovanna, Sophia wasn't willing to risk that happening with Zephyrin. Nope. Better to cut things off with him before he could disappoint her. Before he shattered her. Chapter 8. Zephyrin frowned as he stopped before the door of the address Jason had texted to him an hour earlier. Zeph remembered Giovanna telling him she lived in Alaska Junction, but Jason had sent him to this apartment in an older but well-kept, pretty building in the heart of Belltown, about 10 minutes from the photography studio. How could he forget? The reason he'd chosen his place over hers last night had been the location. His downtown condo had been closer than the 20 minutes to her Alaska Junction home. He lifted his fist to knock on the door, the question still rolling around in his head. But before his hand could connect, the door opened, revealing the object of his inexplicable fascination. She gaped at him, eyes wide, lips parted in an O of surprise. Slowly he lowered his arm. Even knowing he stared at her like some kind of starstruck teenager, he still couldn't remove his gaze from her, not when he'd spent the entire day rewinding and replaying the night before. The sweet, addictive taste of those full, sensual lips, the glow of her bare skin, the wet, hot embrace of her sex, the haze of pleasure taking over those pretty eyes as she came so hard, so uninhibited. His cock throbbed, hardening as the images scrolled across his mind like a peep show. With the force of a will he hadn't known he possessed, he kept his hands down at his sides, instead of reaching out and dragging her against him. That mouth with its pierced bottom lip, it was a temptation that would have sent Adam into sin quicker than that apple. Today, in a t-shirt, skinny jeans, and flip-flops, her blue-tipped hair in one of those top-knots, she appeared less like an up-and-coming supermodel and more like one of the everyday women sipping lattes in one of Seattle's coffee shops or one of the internet cafes. Nice shirt. She glanced down at the thumb drive graphic under the words, "Back that thing up," a frown furrowing her forehead, then returned her attention to him. "What are you doing here?" she demanded, still wearing the scowl. Ignoring that question, since he had yet to fully answer it for himself, he instead nodded toward her apartment. "Can I come in?" Her teeth sank into the lush curve of her bottom lip, and for a moment, he thought she was going to deny him. But then she gave her head a small shake and stepped back, allowing him entrance. Taking immediate advantage before she could change her mind, he strode past her. He studied the spacious studio apartment, taking in the wide windows that added an illusion of more space, the exposed brick walls, hardwood floors, and eclectic array of furniture.
He assumed the floor-to-ceiling Japanese screen hid the bed from the rest of the room, separating the area into the living section and the bedroom. Pretty and stylish, it somehow still didn't jibe with the woman in front of him. He couldn't put his finger on it, but something seemed to be missing. As soon as the thought passed through his head, he dismissed it with a scoff. One night of sex didn't mean he knew her.
"I thought you lived in Alaska Junction," he said, voicing the question that still nagged at him.
The door closed behind him, and she crossed the small distance separating them, arms crossed. His gaze dipped to her breasts. No force on earth could have kept him from looking, not after he now knew in vivid, intimate detail how the dark brown tips contrasted with her coffee and cream skin, or the slight weight of them in his hand.
"Hey, excuse me, up here," she snapped, pointing toward her face. "I definitely don't live in my tits."
The polite, gentlemanly thing to do would be to apologize.
"Sorry," he said.
Hashtag not sorry, she muttered. He controlled the quirk of his lips before they could betray his amusement. She was right. He wasn't sorry. She had a body that deserved to be worshipped. From the firm thrust of flesh under her funny-as-hell t-shirt, to the feminine flare of hips and long display of slender, toned legs, shown to perfection in the tight jeans, she had him a breath away from falling on his knees and burying his face between those beautiful thighs. Things he knew would spread for him in abandoned welcome, like they had the night before. Slowly, he retraced his visual path back up her tall frame, finally meeting her eyes, the piercing in her eyebrow glinting under the lighting. Those chocolate eyes that couldn't hide the arousal darkening them. He'd bet his left nut that under those crossed arms, her nipples stood at strict attention.
"Alaska Junction?"
he asked again, his voice as rough as churned-up gravel. Her shoulders stiffened, and she turned away from him, heading toward the small kitchen nook. Like she was a magnet, he followed, leaning a shoulder against the adjoining wall. "Do you want something to drink?" She pulled open the refrigerator door. "I have water, juice, or wine."
"I'm fine,"
he said, waiting for an answer. Withdrawing a bottle of water, she closed the door and faced him. "I've only been here a short time. I guess home is still my old apartment until I get used to living here." He nodded. It made sense. He'd lived in the downtown condo for a couple of years now, but the house in Redmond had been his home for the 4 years he and Shailene had been together. Sometimes the apartment still felt like a place he crashed after games, not a home with memories. But that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, either.
"This is a nice place,"
he said, and just managed not to punch himself in the face. He'd never been one for small talk. It had always seemed a complete waste of words and time, not to mention painful, like right now. Hell, he'd been deep inside her body. Talking shouldn't be this damn difficult. He scanned the area, and seconds later his scrutiny landed on the tall curio cabinet that housed a surprisingly huge collection of DVDs instead of knickknacks. Not requesting her permission, he pushed off the wall and moved across the floor to the cabinet. Horror movies, comedies, action, fantasy. But three shelves were devoted to movies of the 80s and early 90s. St. Elmo's Fire, of course, Pretty in Pink, The Breakfast Club, Some Kind of Wonderful, Back to the Future, Parts 1, 2, and 3.
"I notice a theme going on here," he observed, "but Back to the Future 3? I wasn't even aware anyone had actually seen that one."
"The whole series is a classic," she sniffed, her arms slowly unfolding as some of the defensiveness in her posture peeled away. "All of them are. They were the gold standard of original movie making. Lost Boys, first teenage vampire movie, Dirty Dancing, became a phenomenon between the movie, the music, and Patrick Swayze's hips." "God, I still miss him." She sighed, then continued. "Mystic Pizza launched the careers of Julia Roberts and Vincent D'Onofrio. Before there was Bobby Gorin and Wilson Fisk, there was Bill Montijo.
And let's not even get started on how Say Anything gave us John Cusack.
Uh-huh.
He cocked his head to the side, studying her animated expression.
You're a romantic.
She stared at him, snorted. Boy, did you miss the boat on that one.
Did I?
He shifted closer, closing the distance between them in slow increments, like a trainer approaching a spooked mare. She reminded him of that elegant, wary animal. He had the sense if he rushed her, she would run as far from him as this studio would allow. That both worried and intrigued him.
All of those movies have one thing in common. They're romances, or have romance in them. Is that why you watch them, Giovanna? Is that what you want? Someone to see you, date you, take care of you?
I can take care of myself, she said, her voice a decimal above a whisper, and I asked you to call me Sophia. That's right. Giovanna was the model, the persona. Sophia was the tatted, pierced, guarded, but passionate woman beneath. If he were smart, he would insist on calling her Giovanna, keep the fact that she was a model whose visibility could only be boosted by dating a pro football player front and center in his mind. Yeah, if he were smart.
I know you can, Sophia.
He deliberately added the name. Screw it. Calling her Sophia was a small concession. Besides, Sophia somehow seemed to fit this version of her more.
But sometimes, don't you want someone else to handle the load? Ease the pressure of the day? Touch you? Make you forget?
Soft puffs of breath echoed in the room like the report of gunshots. Her chest rose and fell, wide eyes fixed on him. The term deer in headlights came to mind. I'm not having sex with you again, she stated, panic, if he wasn't mistaken, edging her voice. Though he couldn't help but notice that her gaze skimmed down his body, the arousal darkening her eyes unmistakable.
Who said anything about sex?
He asked, even as his mind and dick seemed to throb in protest.
Where's your mind at, Sophia?
The alarm evaporated from her expression, replaced by a scowl. What are you doing here? I thought we agreed to one night. Her frown deepened. And do I even want to know how you found this address? He shrugged.
Probably not. And we agreed to one night of sex. I'm not here for that. I want to invite you to dinner.
Dinner, she repeated, skepticism soaking her tone like a wet, heavy blanket. Her suspicion didn't disappear. Smart woman. Because he, who despised lying, was doing it through his teeth. All he could think about was having her under him again. Then, after a breather, over him. Then in front of him. Hunger clawed at his gut like a caged beast demanding to be fed.
Yes. Have you eaten?
Not exactly the kind of craving he wanted to satisfy, but maybe she would lower her guard if he played nice. He saw the indecision playing out on her expressive face, also noted the moment she decided to tell the truth. No, she grudgingly admitted. She shook her head. This is a bad idea. Just
bad.
She said in a low voice.
Why?
He moved even closer, this time surrendering to the need to just touch. Pinching her chin between his thumb and forefinger, he tilted her head back as he shifted into her personal space, eliminating it.
What are you afraid of, baby?
That, she whispered, her lids lowered, hiding her eyes from him, and he almost demanded she open them. Zephyrin, I... She exhaled a shaky breath and stepped back, dislodging his hand from her face. Tunneling her fingers through her hair, she nearly toppled the bun on top of her head, but she didn't seem to notice. Pivoting, she crossed the living area and halted in front of an arched window. I'm so not who you think I am, she murmured, voice so low he barely caught her words.
Then let me find out,
he said. Staring at the rigid line of her spine.
Introduce me to Sophia. Introduce her to me.
And if you don't like her?
I will, if you give me the chance. Trust me with her, and I won't reject her.
A sense of urgency vibrated under his skin, like a forewarning that if he didn't convince her now, he would lose the opportunity to discover all the hidden passion in this woman. Unable to remain where he stood, he traced her steps and didn't stop until his palms flattened against the wall above her head and his chest was pressed to her back. She stiffened, but didn't move away. He lowered his head, his mouth hovering next to her ear. Her flower and fruit scent, the same that had been more condensed, muskier with her arousal the night before, enveloped him, a warm, sexy embrace. The two dark brown beauty marks behind the curve of her ear taunted him, begged for his tongue. He swallowed the growl that rolled up his chest and into his throat. Dinner. That's it. She turned, facing him. He could easily read the indecision in the gaze that met his. That's it?
Yes,
he said. The urge to touch her surged within him, brutal and demanding. He surrendered to the need and brushed the full curve of her bottom lip with his thumb, but that was all he allowed himself. He shifted back a small step.
Sophia, you're focused on your career, and so am I. Everything else takes a back seat to it. I've let relationships fuck me up, distract me before, and I'm not willing to risk my career like that again. I can't offer anyone a long-term commitment. I want to be as upfront with you as you were with me last night.
She studied him for several long, quiet seconds. And you don't want to risk getting into a relationship with someone who could lie to you. Again. He didn't reply to her amazingly accurate assumption, but from the understanding that seemed to shadow her eyes, he didn't need to. Another moment passed, then another. But finally. Okay. Dinner. He breathed. Chapter 9. She was going to hell. Sophia sat at the marble bar in Zephyrin's state-of-the-art kitchen, watching him prepare their meal with an efficiency that struck her as endearing and a little intimidating. And hot. Good Lord. Definitely hot. As someone whose diet consisted of anything not cooked by her, she appreciated the coordination and weird kind of beauty that went into it as he prepared several dishes at once, shifting from the stove to the huge island in the middle of the room and back, chopping vegetables and sautéing them, baking fish. He was poetry in motion, and though she'd never seen him play, she could easily imagine him showing the same grace and economy of movement on a field. For such a huge man, he moved with a fluidity that was both poetic, elegant, and powerful. Or maybe it was just Zephyrin. And her ogling reminded her of exactly why her soul was sentenced to eternal damnation. This lust and fascination for this beautiful, sin-wrapped-in-flesh man. Back at Giovanna's apartment, she should have said no to his invitation, put her foot down, remembered that not an hour earlier, she'd promised her sister she would end whatever the thing was between her and Zephyrin. The fact that she'd had to lie to him about the apartment should have been a clear and blaring reminder of why even entertaining seeing him again fell under the heading of worst fucking idea ever. I've been lied to so often, the truth is my white whale. For a moment when he'd asked her to trust him, promised that he wouldn't reject her, she'd almost confessed everything. The favor for her twin to take her place on the photo shoot, her decision to take one night for herself with him and not see him again, why she'd snuck out of his bed after hearing him whisper her sister's name. Everything. But then she'd remembered those bleak, hard words he'd stated in the bar. This was a man accustomed to being lied to having his choices stolen from him, and he would see her as one more thief. And coward that she was, she hadn't wanted to see his disappointment, his disgust. Hell, if she had 1 ounce of the sense that people believed she possessed in spades, she would have rejected his offer for dinner, cauterized the harm. But knowing and doing were two different things. She should have said no and shown him the door, her sister's door. But after he'd asked her to introduce him to Sophia, the cracks and fissures fractured her already flimsy barricade of resistance. More than anything, she wanted him to meet her, the real her. But right on the heels of that longing came the voice reminding her that Zeff wouldn't like the real her. In that Google search, she'd also seen the women he'd been pictured with. Gorgeous, stylish, poised, and confident. Women like Giovanna, not her. And yet, here she sat, watching him, lusting after him with the words, no sex, reverberating in her head like a mantra, even as her wet panties mocked her. Hell. She smothered a snort. Forget going to hell? She was in it. Yet the realization didn't stop her from staring at the fit of the jeans over his trim hips, thick thighs, and ass. She suppressed a groan. That ass. Her fingers had clutched the firm flesh last night, and she swore she could still feel the hardness of it against her skin now. Swiftly, she dragged her gaze up to the t-shirt that hugged the muscles of his shoulders, upper arms, and wide chest. Ink painted his lower arms. The V-neck offered her a peek at the powerful column of his throat and collarbone, also bearing the slim necklace with its pierced dime that nestled in the shallow dip at the bottom of his throat. If someone had told her she would be jealous of a coin, she would have offered them a Xanax and glass of wine. Can I ask you a question? She propped her elbows up on the bar top. He glanced up at her from stirring vegetables and nodded. What does the dime mean? Is it something special?
My grandmother gave it to me before I left for college. It's an old Creole superstition. Wearing a pierced dime around your neck is supposed to ward off the devil.
Sophia blinked. Wow. He huffed out a low laugh.
When I pointed out that as a Catholic, she shouldn't believe superstition. She told me this had nothing to do with God and everything to do with the devil. So just shut up and wear the damn thing. And that's a direct quote.
The humor and obvious love in the deep timbre of his voice had her chest squeezing, even as she loosed a bark of laughter. She sounds amazing. Feisty.
She is, he murmured. She's my rock.
Switching the flame off underneath the food, he arched an eyebrow.
Tell me something about you.
Right. She was supposed to be introducing herself to him. The real her. The her that he could truly never know because she'd been lying to him about herself since the beginning. The her that would probably bore him in 3.2 seconds flat. Shoving the thought, and the guilty twist inside her, aside with the power of a backhoe, she shrugged. I speak several languages. She'd grown up in a Spanish-speaking household, as her parents were both Puerto Rican. Still, since she was younger, she'd always had an affinity for different tongues. They fascinated her, challenged her. And when she'd been a kid, she'd had dreams of traveling to foreign countries, visiting all the cities that had always fascinated her. London, Paris, Madrid, Manila, Middle Earth. 5, including English, and if you count Elvish. He stared at her, blinked.
Excuse me? Elvish, as in pointy-eared, long-haired bow-and-arrow elves?
Again, she shrugged, suddenly wishing she'd kept her mouth shut instead of opening it and proving what a geek she was. Hell, half the people she worked with were fluent in Klingon.
Don't get shy now.
A corner of his mouth quirked as he turned fully toward her and planted his palms on the bar.
Say something, please.
Lena Venima Idan, you are a beautiful man. A sentiment she was too embarrassed to confess in English. Slowly, a full-fledged, heart-stopping, gorgeous grin spread across his face. God damn. No wonder the man didn't do that often. He had to use his smile like the nuclear codes, carefully, rarely, and only in important circumstances. Otherwise, this world would be rendered to ash from all the exploding ovaries.
Damn, that's sexy as hell,
he said, shaking his head,
still wearing that coronary-inducing grin.
What did you say?
As if she'd reveal that. Learn it, if you want to find out. She issued the challenge with a tilt of her head.
Maybe I will,
he replied, and the soft tone conjured an image of him snatching up a thrown-down gauntlet. Although the idea of him actually learning the language of, how would he put it, the pointy-eared, long-haired bow and arrow race of Tolkien, fell somewhere between ludicrous and really ludicrous.
What are the others?
He asked. Yo quisiera lamberte su cuerpo entero. Spanish. I would really love to just lick you all over right now.
Me vouloir que tu sois fou.
French. But wanting you is crazy.
Pero hindi ko matulangan sarili ko.
Tagalog or Filipino. But I can't help myself. He studied her, and while she wanted to duck her head and avoid his scalpel's sharp scrutiny, she met it. Only because he couldn't know the revealing words she'd uttered in the different languages.
Why is it crazy to want me?
Her face must have betrayed the shock blasting through her, because he added,
I'm Creole. I know some French.
She glanced everywhere, anywhere, but at him. How could she tell him the truth? That wanting him was crazy because he believed her to be someone else. And the more time she spent with him, the longer she let him think she was her twin, the deeper in lies she sank and dragged him with her. No way in hell could she admit that. She cleared her throat, stalling for time, praying a credible answer would materialize. The timer on the oven dinged, announcing the fish he'd placed inside 20 minutes earlier was done. Oh, thank God. Saved by the bell. Literally. He transferred his attention to the food, removing the dish and setting it on top of the stove. But seconds later, he returned with a chunk of pink, flaky meat pinched between his fingers.
Open,
he ordered. She complied without hesitation, and he slid the piece of salmon between her parted lips, setting it on her tongue. He didn't remove his finger, made her lick the underside of it as she swallowed the food, and he still didn't withdraw. In that instant, she had a choice. Remind him, and herself, of her no-sex rule, or indulge in this small, not-so-innocent flirtation. She didn't have to let it go any further. Okay, so she'd started not only lying to Zephyrin, but to herself, too. Still didn't stop her from curling her tongue around his finger, from sucking on it, drawing it deeper, stroking it, grazing it with her teeth. Didn't stop her from closing her eyes and enjoying the hard, callous texture of skin, from substituting his finger for his cock in her imagination. Except, even her dreams didn't stretch that far. Her biblical knowledge of him couldn't forget how much thicker, heavier, wider his flesh was. Her breath like a buzzsaw in her lungs and head. She pulled back, but not before treating herself to one last lick. She lifted her lashes and almost toppled off the bar stool. The explosive heat in those golden eyes was a punch of lust straight to her chest. His mouth formed a hard but sensual line. His jaw clenched tight. She'd seen lust on him last night, but under the glaring lights of the kitchen, the emotion appeared harsher, hungrier. She clutched the edge of the counter as if holding on for dear life, didn't let go even as he rounded the bar, even as he crowded her against the marble, his chest pressing against her spine as it had earlier at her sister's apartment. His arms bracketing hers, his large hands settling on either side of hers. She felt covered. If they were in bed, she would have been mounted. The image sizzled along her synapses, causing them to misfire. She blamed the phenomenon on her inability to move out of the cage of his arms and body.
Do it again.
The low rumble of his voice vibrated against her back, over her skin. She shivered as he rubbed the tips of two fingers over her bottom lip.
Let me in.
Unable to deny him, or herself, if she were brutally honest, she opened her mouth,
permitted him to penetrate, to fill her. His groan rolled through her, penetrating her shirt and stroking her skin, knowing that his eagle gaze watched his fingers disappear inside her, was a caress to the aching, pulsing flesh between her thighs. She squeezed her legs together, but all the gesture did was remind her how empty she was, how desperate she was to have him bury his cock in her sex, as slowly and deliberately as his fingers did her mouth. As she'd done moments ago, she sucked him, savoring the hint of spices from the food he'd prepared, moaning at the darker, more unique flavor of him. She raked him with the edge of her teeth, lapped at the slight abrasion. With a low growl, he withdrew his hand until his fingertips rested on her lip, then pushed back inside, demanding more of her touch.
Damn, that's so pretty.
His gritty praise sent pleasure stumbling through her.
So goddamn pretty.
He repeated the strokes, imitating the erotic possession of his body over hers from the previous evening. At some point, she'd released her hold on the counter and grasped his thick wrists, her nails digging into his skin.
I thought about this all day, Sophia. Had a shitty practice because I couldn't focus.
He didn't cease taking her mouth. His thrusts between her lips shortened, hardened, and she loved it.
Sucked harder. Not with images of you taking my dick just like you are now in my head. Beautiful, sweet, and hot as hell.
Jesus, he had to stop talking, or any moment, she would go up in flames. Her sex clenched, quivering in readiness for a deep, rough ride. One more night of sex, just one. Then tomorrow, she would walk away, like she should have tonight if she weren't so damn weak. She shifted, tried to turn around in his arms, but he prevented the movement with his body. One hand burrowed through her hair, tangling, gripping. He tugged her head back and withdrew his fingers from her mouth. Slowly, he trailed the damp tips down her chin and neck, coming to rest in the point of her shirt's V neckline. He paused, and she was acutely aware that with a shift of only centimeters to the left or the right, he could be teasing her nipples into tighter points. She bit her lip, unable to think of another surefire way of trapping the plea inside her.
I want to renegotiate,
he murmured in her ear.
One night wasn't enough for me. I didn't get a chance to discover everything about this gorgeous body. Didn't get the opportunity to find out what makes you shiver, scream, come. So here are the terms.
He brushed his lips over her jaw, giving her just a hint of tongue.
We fuck until we get our fill. You don't want strings? Fine. Neither do I. You want to walk away whenever you're done? Me too. But until then, you let me have you, and you can have me in return.
If the devil hadn't uttered something similar to Eve when tempting her with that apple, then he'd been phoning it in. Because if he'd come at her with the sinful, dirty lure Zephyrin had just thrown at her, even Eve wouldn't have stopped at one apple. She would have gorged on that whole damn tree. She squeezed her eyes shut, but the absence of vision only intensified the tingling in her scalp from his fingers in her hair and the texture of his full lips on her skin. Made her more aware of his touch between her breasts. Say no, say no, say no. The chant reverberated and pinged off her skull like a ricocheting bullet, gaining speed with each pass. Say no, say no, say no. But before she could utter a denial or acceptance, he released her. For a moment, the abrupt absence of his touch left her reeling, like being shoved face first into a snowbank after the toasty warmth of a heat-filled car. Inhaling deeply, she didn't loosen her grip on the counter, tracking him as he returned to his position on the other side of the bar.
I just have one condition, one rule,
he said, the sexy growl gone from his voice. Sliding his hands in the front pockets of his pants, he faced her, his face inscrutable. She appreciated rules, had lived her life by them, Her work required them in the form of codes, and with him, she definitely needed some kind of boundaries.
Okay, she breathed. I'm listening.
He studied her for a long, weighty moment, his eyes capturing hers, refusing to free her.
Playing ball is all I've ever wanted to do, and I love the game, but with it comes the baggage. You learn everyone doesn't have your best interest at heart, that people will try and get close to you simply for what you can do for them, or what they can get out of you. It's an environment that breeds greed and mistrust. That's why last night, when you added the stipulation of only one night, your honesty took me by surprise, and I admired it. I was grateful for it, because it's so rare.
He leaned back against the marble island, and his gaze seemed to turn inward as if staring at something only he could see.
I'm going to be just as truthful with you, Sophia, as upfront as I can. I was in a relationship that imploded because of dishonesty. Her lies almost stole my career, almost dis-
He broke off abruptly, his jaw clenching. After a moment, he continued, but that flat note had entered his voice again, the same one from the previous night when their conversation had turned to lies.
That's my one rule, Sophia. Honesty. No lies. Ever.
The words, no lies, assaulted her conscience like a battering ram. Dread and a deep, heavy sadness weighed on her chest, like a massive boulder. She'd already broken that rule.
Another thing. I can't offer you anything more than this.
He waved a hand back and forth between them.
I'm telling you this because I don't want to mislead you. I can give you more of last night, but that's all. Anything else? A relationship? A commitment? I don't have to give. Will I ever? Maybe after football. If I do, though, it will be with someone completely outside of this business.
So it's not that you can't offer a relationship, you just can't extend it to me. Or, Giovanna. Christ, this was confusing. So was the inexplicable stab of hurt and anger. His expression solemn. He nodded.
I've already done that. I've seen the wreckage fame and celebrity, or the desire for them, can inflict. Jealousy, competition, mistrust, resentment. Home should be a sanctuary, not a combat zone.
The irony that her true job would fulfill his perfect mate requirement wasn't lost on her. The real Sophia wasn't in the business. At 28 years old, he could still have several good years of playing football ahead of him, and he seemed determined to spend those years alone. Is that it? She moved her hands to her lap and out of his sight, so he couldn't glimpse the tight, knuckle-whitening clasp of her fingers. No strings, sex, and no lies. Do I have it all covered?
No.
Slowly he straightened and crossed the space separating them, flattening his palms on the bar counter. He leaned forward until their faces were centimeters apart, until she could taste his kiss on his breath.
I want you. I want to suck on that full, sexy-ass bottom lip. Taste you. Touch you. It's taken everything in me not to pull you on this counter, pull down those jeans, and bury myself inside you until you come, screaming my name.
His gaze dropped to her mouth, remained there for several seconds before sliding up again.
Now I'm finished.
Oh, God. She released a shuddering breath, knowing he heard it, felt it on his lips. This man was temptation in flesh. If she had any integrity, any sense of self-preservation, she would step away now. Nothing could come of this arrangement. She should rise from this stool, thank him for the dinner invite, and walk out the door. But she didn't, because the truth was, she couldn't. When was the last time she'd wanted something, anything, as desperately as she craved him? Never. Nothing had ever carved out this hollow cavity that could only be filled by the pleasure he'd introduced her to the night before. Nothing had ever made her feel so feminine, beautiful, needed. God, that admission made her sound so pathetic, and she didn't care. She'd never stepped out on a limb and went after something she wanted, grabbed it for her own. Even Famfit had pursued her. She'd always been too scared of disappointment. Her past with the bullying, with men, with the often unfair comparisons between her